Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome you all out to Heatherridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting this morning. Bishop Mike Roberts is presiding our meeting today, and he has asked me, Brother Tom Crabb, to conduct the meeting today. I'd like to welcome any visitors or anyone who's here for the first time with us, and I'd like to welcome you to attend with us here at Sacrament Meeting and also all of our other meetings as well. So a couple of announcements we'd like to make. Tithing declaration is in process right now, and Bishop Roberts needs to see everyone and would love to see everyone. We need more signups on the doors. There's lots of open slots up there on the doors to sign up if you can come in to meet with Bishop Roberts. We'd like to get that done as quickly as possible. And if there's any of you that those slots don't work due to whatever reasons, try and get a hold of Brother Eric Thomas and he'll try and schedule something. But the bishop would love to meet with you for tithing declaration this year. Also, we're planning on a Christmas musical program, which will require the Ward Choir. So we'd love to invite anyone that wants to participate in the Ward Choir to participate. Today, there will be a Ward Choir practice at the Sweetens home at 3 o'clock. And the Packers would love to have you there. There are new Ward Choir directors, and they would love to have you come out and participate. We'd love to have men, women, young men, young women, everyone that wants to participate in the choir, come out and join them. So they'll be practicing each week and getting ready for the big performance on the 23rd. So invite you to participate and have a good time there with the choir. With that, we'll go ahead and have our opening hymn number 94, Come Ye Thankful People Come, and then Ms. McKay Swope will give us the opening prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be gathered here today and for the opportunity to partake of the sacrament this morning. We are grateful for our families and for the gospel in our lives, and we are grateful for those who have prepared talks today, and please bless that the Spirit will be with us as we listen to those talks, and that the Spirit can teach us what we need to know and do so that we can better serve thy children. And we give thee thanks for thy son Jesus Christ and for the atonement. And we ask thee to please bless those that aren't with us today, that they may be safe and that they can join us next time. And we say these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank Brother Swope for the invocation today. We have an item of ward business. We have a new family that's moved into our ward, and we'd like to read their records in. Brother Brett DeMar Weeks and his wife, yes, would you please stand? That'd be great. And his wife, Angela Weeks, and their children, Burke DeMar Weeks, who's on a mission, and also Mercedes Angela Weeks, have moved in, and we'd like to welcome them into our ward. All those that can show a hand of fellowship and welcome in the ward, do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you very much. Looking forward to a great sacramenting program today. We have a new couple in our ward that will be speaking to us, the Edmonds. Our first speaker will be Lauren Edmonds, and then she'll be followed by a special Relief Society musical number. Hopefully that's not a surprise to all those in Relief Society. So we'll plan on that as our intermediate hymn today from the Relief Society, and then our concluding speaker will be Brother Jace Edmonds, and we'll take it to that point.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. As he mentioned, my name is Lauren Edmonds, and this is my husband, Jace. We moved into the ward in August of this year, so pretty recent, and we are in Steve and Janita Anderson's basement, and we are loving it there. I'm just going to give you a very, very brief background on who we are, since many of you probably don't know us. I grew up in Gilbert, Arizona, right next to the Gilbert Temple, and my husband Jace grew up in Mapleton, Utah. We met, it's actually a very funny story. We met going to school in Virginia. We were both attending a college back there. I was playing soccer, and he was playing basketball. And we were in an art history class, and he told me he really needed a math tutor. I was working as a tutor at that time, so I said, yeah, of course, I'll come tutor you. I went to his house, and needless to say, he's brilliant, amazing at math. He did not need an art tutor. He just wanted me to come over and hang out. And we were inseparable from that point on. We dated for about 2 years, and then we decided to transfer. A couple things came in our path, and we decided to transfer back to Utah. So I am now attending BYU. I am in the Marriott School of Business in the Experience Design and Management program. And Jace is working full-time at a pharmaceutical corporation. We were married pretty recently in December of 2017, so we're coming up on a year. And it has been undoubtedly the best year I've ever had, and I've learned more about myself than I could have ever imagined going into marriage. We have been asked to speak on gratitude today, of course, with the upcoming holiday. And this, of course, is an incredibly broad topic. And I tried to narrow my thoughts into three key points. And I've really loved focusing on this topic, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to focus on gratitude. So what I'm going to do first today is kind of explain why gratitude is important, and it reaches beyond courtesy or just something good, and why it is commanded of God. Second, I'm going to talk about how gratitude is essentially developed through humility, through personal humility. And then I'm going to end with how humility-based gratitude that we learn or act upon helps us see our divine potential. So first, Thanksgiving, this time kind of allows us, as we all can see, this time to evaluate our own gratitude practices and maybe attempt to exercise grateful spirit or actions when we feel broken or maybe even confused at the world's wickedness at this time in our lives. But I'm going to suggest that we maybe skew our vision or tilt our head and look at the world through this lens of abundance that our Heavenly Father has given us, because he has given us so, so much. And when we do that, we lift ourselves, but not only that, we lift everyone around us. So as many of you know, many studies show the psychological effects of well-being and health that gratitude has when we exercise that. And in the program I am in right now, we study a lot of positive psychology and what makes people happy or what is kind of a transformative nature of someone. And while this is very important, I think we can all agree, I decided to focus my studies on why the scriptures say gratitude is important. So our Heavenly Father commands us to be thankful in all things and to live in thanksgiving daily, according to Alma 34:38. And Sharon G. Samuelson gave a talk at BYU in 2010 and said, "Each of us shows our gratitude by the way we live and the willingness to serve the Lord and keep his commandments." Gratitude is a commandment with a promise, as in taught in Doctrine and Covenants 78, "And he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of this earth shall be added unto him even an hundredfold, yea, more." So obviously, gratitude is important. President Monson stated, gratitude is a divine principle. We can lift ourselves and others when we refuse to remain in the realm of negative thought and cultivate within our hearts an attitude of gratitude. If ingratitude be numbered among the serious sins, then gratitude takes its place among the noblest of virtues. Someone has said that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but really the parent of all other virtues. In a hymn you're all very familiar with, the fourth verse says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end." I think it's really important to highlight the key that he doesn't say he will solve our problems or he'll make this life perfect or everything will be easy, but he says that he'll be with us and his angels will attend us no matter the rough, confusing things we are going through. So I guess in conclusion of my first point, gratitude is more than a courtesy, it's a commandment. My second point is that gratitude is developed through humility and it is a gift. Personally, I have noticed this gift in my own life as I have pondered the atonement, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I need his atonement more than I need anything in this world because I make a lot of mistakes, as do we all. And so I have found that understanding his atoning sacrifice has helped me see and humble myself in a way that nothing else can. Something I've been studying lately is specific words in scriptures and how they change the scriptural meaning. So in Ether 12:27, it says, "And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me." I want us to notice the singularity in the word weakness. Again, it says, "And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble." I think there's great power in the singularity of the word weakness because I believe the scripture is saying that all humans are generally weak. As a whole, we have human nature that has fallen, and maybe we do have personal weaknesses that vary from person to person, but this scripture is talking about weakness as a whole of human nature. And I believe this weakness is God-given. God wants us to essentially be fallen and weak because weakness is the catalyst for humility. And the only way we can really comprehend the grace of God and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ is through our naturally weak human nature, because it allows us to see the need for the atonement. So my studies, I've really focused on this. I feel like this fundamental weakness is essentially the mobilization to see mortality and our sins as a gift rather than a fault. And I think if our weakness or my weakness is tied to God, it'll undoubtedly become a strength because it is tied to him. So personally, understanding forgiveness and weakness in this way, I have been able to foster a more meaningful relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ, and develop personal humility in ways I didn't think was possible. S. Andrew Ng in the Research Studies Center at BYU said, "We become humble by accepting our gifts and acknowledging him from whom they came. We should be grateful for them and use them for righteous purposes." Elder Robert D. Hales then said, "Through the expression of prayerful gratitude and thanksgiving, we show our dependence on a higher source of wisdom and knowledge, God the Father and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Essentially, gratitude is key to developing humility, end quote. And might I add, humility is key to developing gratitude. The last main point I kind of have focused on is how developing this humility-based gratitude helps us see our divine potential and act on that incredible gift. So God's commandments, one of which being gratitude that I'm focusing on today, those commandments are given to us, I think we can all agree, so we can exercise our agency and prove to him we can follow them. And he knows that developing an attribute of gratitude will help us see our divine potential and act on that. Sharon Samuelson talks a lot about gratitude, but her main points kind of explain that the Lord desires for us to be successful in our righteous endeavors, whether temporal or spiritual. He wants us really to succeed. And there are many things in the world that are pleasing in his sight, such as gaining knowledge and wisdom. But we must never, ever forget that the source of every single thing in our life comes from him, and that he is the source of all the things in our life. We should show him gratitude continually. Showing gratitude, she says, to the Lord helps us better see our worth in his sight. Elder Uchtdorf gives an incredible talk about having gratitude in any circumstance. Rather than being grateful for things, we are grateful in any circumstance. And he says that essentially, when we are grateful in any circumstance, it transcends anything happening around us. So no matter what is happening, we can be grateful for something. And I feel like this type of gratitude is an incredible act of faith, because it is so difficult to be grateful in hard times. And I've pondered the relationship between faith and hope, and I'm sure all of you have figured this out already, but I'm still trying to figure out how these two act together, and I feel like faith is this foundational principle for hope, while hope retroactively like anchors that faith. So regarding gratitude, having faith in any circumstance is almost foundational to our hope in good things to come, or our hope that he is there, or our hope that it's all going to be okay. Essentially, our hope that he will sustain us amid any circumstance or any decision. My very favorite definition of happiness is not having what you like, but liking what you have. I experienced this firsthand about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. I was playing soccer, as I mentioned, at Southern Virginia University, and I was planning maybe to transfer somewhere to play soccer collegiately continually, moving up a division, and one of my last home games, I was defending, and I got tackled from behind, and my leg kind of flipped over the back of me and snapped in a few places, and I tore my ACL, my MCL, messed up part of my kneecap. Pretty much everything in my right leg was messed up. And I denied it. I kept playing on it. And then my, essentially, the coach pulled me out and said, "What's wrong with your leg?" They did some tests. And my trainer said she assumed it was torn. I went to the hospital, still in denial. And yeah, it was torn very badly. It was actually obliterated. There were no remnants of the ACL, actually. And I was really, really, really upset. And this may seem minor. It's not the worst thing that's ever happened, but it was a big deal to me. And my dad flew out to visit, helped me go to some doctor's appointments, schedule my surgery. And I was mad. I was mad at everything and everyone. And I realized I had a choice. I could either continue to be mad and upset, or I could change my thoughts and be grateful for this new opportunity to explore a new path. And that's what I did. So I decided to be the happiest person with a torn ACL there ever was. And I tried so hard. Every time I was on my crutches in the snow and my crutch would slip and I would fall, I would just be grateful that I lived in a place there was snow, or I would be grateful that I had the opportunity to have crutches, or I would just try to be so very grateful. And essentially, I did not have what I liked. I did not have a knee, but I liked my circumstance, and that changed everything. So essentially, again, in Count Your Blessings, it says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end." God isn't going to solve our problems, but he will be there with us through everything. And if we can be grateful in any circumstance, we will see and act on our divine potential. I have a testimony that gratitude is essential to this life and our development. And I know that Jesus Christ's atonement was for me and for you. And I know that he lives. And to echo Elder Holland, he says, I testify Jesus is the Christ, the victor over death and hell. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true, and it has been restored. Fear ye not. When the second and third and fourth blows come, fear ye not. The Lord shall fight for you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, end quote. And might I add, cast not away, therefore, your gratitude. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's great to be here with you today. Like my wife said, my name is Jace Edmonds, and I'm from Mapleton, Utah. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and for the opportunity to be in this gospel, in this church, and in this ward. I'm truly grateful for my wife and everything that she said. And she teaches me something new every day. As you guys can tell, she's really smart, and she's a big blessing in my life. I do want to clarify part of that story where she was teaching me math. I think I ended up getting like a C minus in the class because I was spending too much time with her and not on my homework. So instead of studying, we were hanging out, but it led to this, and I'm grateful for that. I love this time of year with the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We get to spend time with family. It's one of the most great, one of the best parts about the holidays is spending time with the family and getting to spend quality time, to express our gratitude, and to see loved ones maybe we don't get to see that often. One of our family traditions is, I'm sure a lot of you have a similar tradition, but during Thanksgiving, it's easy to get caught up in the great food, but before we eat or after we eat, on Thanksgiving, we go around the table and say things we're grateful for. And this really brings out the true meaning of Thanksgiving and helps everyone realize that Thanksgiving is bigger than just the food or just the family time. It's time with loved ones and time to be grateful for each other, the gospel, Jesus Christ, and Heavenly Father. And so today I'd like to pretend that it's my turn to speak, and I'm just going to tell you what I'm grateful for in my life. I'd really like to focus on three examples, people, individuals in my life that have impacted me and taught me about different elements of gratitude. One is my grandma, who passed away 2 years ago. One is Joseph Smith, and one is my beautiful wife, Lauren. So I'd like to start with my grandma, who taught me the importance of family. Along with my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters, my grandma was very family-oriented, and she lived right next door for 20 years of my life, so all that I can remember. She means everything to me. Like I said, she passed away about 2 years ago. And she taught me, strangely enough, about gratitude for priesthood. While she was on her deathbed, she had a stroke and was in the hospital for about a couple weeks. And during that time, all of our family was there to visit her daily. There was always someone with her to be with her. And I served a mission, so I'd given plenty of priesthood blessings and been able to exercise my priesthood in that manner. But one of her last days, my father and I were able to give her a priesthood blessing. It was one of the most powerful moments of my life. I felt the Spirit so strongly as my dad gave her a blessing, and I laid my hands upon her head, And in that moment, I was more grateful than I had ever been to be able to hold the priesthood and to be worthy of the priesthood and the power that it holds to give her that blessing. Because in that moment, we all felt her in the room, and we felt that she was there watching over us and that she was okay. And it really helped us, especially me, be grateful for the priesthood. And I served my mission in Taiwan, Taipei Mission. Got back about 3 years ago. Before I served, I knew a few things about the gospel. I didn't feel like I had the strongest testimony in the Book of Mormon. I didn't feel like I had the strongest testimony in the church, but I did have a strong testimony that the church blessed families. I knew that. I had seen that as my older brother served. I saw that our family was blessed. I knew that serving a mission would help me understand the church better, and it would help me grow. And so as I went on a mission, I learned what it means to have a testimony of Jesus Christ and the church and the Book of Mormon. But it was that initial importance of family and gratitude for my family that got me to go, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for what my grandma taught me about the importance of family and priesthood. Because of her, I have grown so much. And the next person I want to talk about is Joseph Smith. Without Joseph Smith, there wouldn't be priesthood here on earth today. He is a huge example in my life and on my mission. And since my mission, I've learned so much about Joseph Smith that has helped me grow and given me an example, a pillar to look up to and to really strive for. Because Joseph Smith, he had so much gratitude for God. And I try to have gratitude for God in any situation. And Joseph Smith is a true leader of that. His life was a faith-based mission of gratitude throughout any struggle, through the early years of his life. As he was just a kid and growing up, he had to have faith in God that what he was telling him was true and what he was telling him would lead to this today, lead to the beauty of the gospel, lead to the beauty of missionaries and reaching out to every part of the world. And I believe it's through his gratitude of God he had that faith. And through each struggle, when he got tarred and feathered, when people kicked him and his people out of town and there was murders, I believe he was still grateful. I believe he had that gratitude for God and the unwavering faith it took to proceed and to strengthen the gospel in the Americas. I wanted to read a little part of Elder Oak's talk from 2003 General Conference. It's about Joseph Smith, and it reads, "In the midst of the persecutions of the Latter-day Saints were suffering in Missouri, the Lord gave a similar teaching and promise. Verily I say unto you, my friends, fear not, let your hearts be comforted. Yea, rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks. And all things wherewith you have been afflicted shall work together for your good. And to Joseph Smith in the afflictions of Liberty Jail, the Lord said, Know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good. Brigham Young understood, said he, there is not a single condition of life or 1 hour's experience, but what is beneficial to all those who make it their study and aim to improve upon the experience they gain. And in D&C 135, verse 3, it reads, Joseph Smith, the prophet seer of the Lord, has done more, save Jesus only, for the salvation of men in this world than any other man that ever lived in it. I think there are several ways that I have learned to sow gratitude towards God. I haven't had to go through the struggles that Joseph Smith and the people of that time had to go through, but I feel like I show my gratitude, and we can all show our gratitude to God by going to church, reading the scriptures, praying, and doing the right thing when times get hard, when we face the struggles of life, and having faith in God to ask Him what we can learn from each struggle. And like Lauren said, we dated for about 2 years, and there were some struggles in that. There were some times where we didn't know if we were gonna get married. It wasn't a short engagement, or a short dating life, quick engagement, get married. It was a process. And it's been the greatest process of my life because it ended in eternal families, or our eternal family. It ended in marriage in the temple, and that's something that I'm so grateful for. And it's something that I learned through struggling with her and struggling together as we grew. And the last person I want to talk about is my wife and what she's taught me about gratitude, and specifically gratitude for covenants. Covenants are so important in this life, especially finding the right person and getting sealed in the temple. She taught me how important eternal families were and temple marriage was. Early on in our dating life, it had to have been when we first started dating, we both told each other that we wanted a temple marriage. And with that, the base of our relationship, I feel like it really strengthened us, and it really guided us to where we are today. I knew what she wanted, I knew what her end goal was, and that made me work harder each day to be good and to not do the wrong thing, especially in struggles and in situations where I could have easily not listened to the Spirit or not followed what I knew to be right. In times like that where we weren't getting along, or we had an argument, it was those times where the importance of that end goal led us to marriage in the temple. I want to end with a quote from Elder Oaks in the same talk. He says, "We have so much for which to give thanks. First and foremost, we are thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Under the plan of the Father, He created the world. Through His prophets, He revealed the plan of salvation with its accompanying commandments and ordinances." I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for this gospel and all the happiness it brings to me and my family. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to use Jesus Christ's atonement. I'm very grateful for Jesus Christ and everything His life symbolizes and everything He's done for us. I'm grateful for Heavenly Father, and we can pray to Him every day. I'm grateful for this time of year, the holidays where we can spend with our family, our loved ones. I'm very grateful for the Book of Mormon and everything it stands for, and the opportunity I have to connect with God each day. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to speak with you, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd like to thank the Edmonds for their messages and their testimonies and for the spirit which we felt here today. Also like to remind you to take a look at the program. You know, we want to remind you against the tithing declaration, and we had Brother Wagley put it in a bigger font right at the top so you wouldn't miss it. So I think we only have 10 or 12% signed up so far, so just second reminder for everybody. So the bishop will make a few comments before we close. Then once the bishop is finished, we'll sing song number 93, Prayer of Thanksgiving, and then Kathy Sanders will offer benediction.
We're thankful for the Edmonds and their testimony and their words today. I was thinking, as the holidays approaching, for Dana and I, it's interesting. It'll be just the three of us. Max is on his mission, and our daughters are not coming back for Thanksgiving. It's our off year. It's one of those things you have to get used to as your kids get married, is having off holidays. But we're so grateful for our family, and When I reflect on the blessings that we have here and having families and our children, you get a slight glimpse of our Heavenly Father and what He goes through, and you can. It's hard to imagine His love, but I think we get to feel it with our own family and children, and so it is grateful. I am grateful for that. It's interesting. I'm going on. Let's see, my ninth month as a bishop, and it's such a blessing because you get to see the ward in a whole different light, and how much you appreciate all the great work that goes on in this ward and people taking initiative to do great things. I appreciate members of my bishopric and what they do. It's just remarkable. We have a wonderful ward. I'm learning more about each of you. One of the advantages of coming in and doing tithing declaration is it's an opportunity for me to learn a little bit more about each of you and your lives. And Brother Dayton, I asked him, I didn't realize, I said, well, what did you do? I was a barber at BYU for 40 years. And I thought, wow, that was really cool. And he actually knew how many haircuts he did with 215,000 or something. So it's wonderful to meet with each of you. The other thing I wanted to touch on, and Jace kind of mentioned a little bit on Joseph Smith. Right now I'm reading and studying the Doctrine and Covenants at the same time of reading the Saints book. And I would highly recommend spending some time reading that. It's very a very honest view of the history of the church. But I marvel at the prophet Joseph Smith. I've always appreciated what he went through as an individual and as a prophet of God. And the one thing that you realize is that, and this is also ties back to President Nelson, some of the comments he made, the restoration of the gospel is happening. And even when Joseph was asked in a lot of ways to restore the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was piece by piece as Joseph would study and as he was translating the Book of Mormon, he'd learn new things and he'd go to the Lord. The Lord would inspire him and new things would be revealed. And what a remarkable process that Joseph went through as establishing the church again. And all that he did for us in helping bring forth that so that we could have that today. I cherish the Book of Mormon because of what it means as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so clear and we learn so much from it. And all that Joseph went through as he was bringing that forth and the establishment of the church and the things, the challenges he had to go through. And I just marvel at it. And I have such a strong testimony of him as a prophet. And it's one of those individuals, you know, when you're asked, you know, who would you love to meet? I am anxious to meet Joseph Smith. The love that he showed to people and the sacrifice he made from a young man to his death, I just marvel at. And I think we need to be grateful for all the blessings we have in the gospel, but also grateful for those who help bring those forth in this latter day. And how we're part of that restoration as we continue to grow and share the gospel and help our Heavenly Father have people come unto the covenant path as President Nelson talks about. You know, we're part of that process. And as you serve within your ward, as we minister, and the one thing we'll have more opportunity to really think about ministering as we go into the new year with our new structure. It's an opportunity to continue to serve like our Savior did. Again, I'm grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to serve each of you. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we come before this Sabbath day. We'd like to thank you for the blessings that we have. We're especially thankful to partake of the sacrament and renew our covenants with thee. We pray that this week we might have gratitude in our hearts as we contemplate our blessings. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for Christ's mission. We're thankful for Prophet Lisa, our church. We're thankful for all the service the people in our ward and our bishopric do for us. We pray that I'll bless the missionaries, and we pray that I'll bless us as we spend time with this family this week. And we say these things humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.